Father, we come again. Thank you for this wonderful night. It's a time when God's people would have the chance that you give us that chance and opportunity to stop in our tracks in the fast lane of life, take a few minutes and reminisce about what God's done for us, and go back to the time we're saved, and then go back to the time that Jesus died on Calvary in our mind and see how much you loved this world and what you did for us when we trust you. And Lord, I'm glad this ordinance you gave to us, because it's a time when a person does what he should or she should at this time. They be just as clean as they were the day they got saved. And God knew we needed this now in time. And then if we get on the other side, it's going to be done as remembrance. It won't have any meaning there like it does now, but it will have a remembrance of when we get to heaven, that what we went through, we'll see in reality there as the blood's been plied where God accepted it. And we thank you tonight. Bless us in this hour, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you think about communion, we know what the Bible says, and sometimes we wonder why things are done. There are some people today say that the only thing a communion is what people, pagans, always did, because they had such things. They called it communion, but they had feasts and things had to do to their God. And I was reading recently, said Orientals consider eating together as a sign of bond among those that present. And they seem to think that all it was is just another religious group moving and having a feast together and signed that because people who thought a lot came together, loved to eat, and have fellowship with each other. Well, pagans may do that. That's not what this is about. There's a reality here that God gave this to us to remind us some things in life. You look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look down about verse 16. Before we get over to chapter 11, where Paul brings into what God showed him, probably over in Asia Minor, about this thing of having communion and why it's so necessary. Here, the Lord's Supper points to a bond among the various people present also. But it also said here in chapter 10, before we get to chapter 11, read verse 16 down a few verses. Notice what Paul said. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now, evidently, there was a trouble with this pagan world, or pagan city, Corinth, of having to go through their idols and have such a thing as they had food and suppers and whatever it was, even what they would call communion in a type of fellowship, grouping together for a common cause. And now he breaks out and begins to talk about the cup of blessing, which we're blessed, is it not, he said. Notice, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The reality of Christ's blood is much more significant than just the way pagans do it. And then he said, the bread of which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now watch verse 17. For we've been many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now that's saying that when we come together, and this is the amazing thing about it is, the ground of the cross is level. And when God's people come to the cross, it doesn't matter. Your status in life don't mean a thing. I can be the richest man in the world and be saved. I can be the poorest man in the world and be saved. I can be, you know, I'd have all kinds of physical problems, everything. And the ground of the cross is settled. There is no difference in the sense, it may be in the society prestige of things, but when it comes to the cross, it's not that. And so what he said in 4, that notice he said, for we've been many, are one bread and one body. We are all partakers of that same, of that one bread. In other words, we're here tonight. When it comes to communion, it's the same thing. Everybody, it doesn't matter who comes in. The person who is least, the most who's left, whether it be a politician or just be a whatever. When the ground of the cross is level, the place where God's people meet at, passing out the bread and the blood, is level. Isn't that amazing? You can't buy it. You can't sell it. You can't work it. Here, this is when the person gets the bread, represents Christ. Your status don't mean a thing except you're born again. When you take the cup, your status don't mean a thing except you're born again. Isn't that amazing? That's it. Hey, I'd sit down beside the richest man in the world if he's saved and take communion with that person, and I should not feel envy of him, and he should not feel like I'm down of him. Why? Because I don't care. Maybe he was rich and couldn't work, and I could work and couldn't get rich. Either way, we can't do anything to merit salvation. And so that's what this book is teaching us about, how we come to the same place, bond together with various people that are present. People from all walks of society, all colors of skin, everything, and meet at this point, just like at Calvary. You go to Calvary, no one turns it is turned down if they trust Christ, receive Him. And when come to communion of a local assembly, and the local assembly is where we meet at. Those who are saved belong to a local assembly that does this. And then he goes on and he said, behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partake of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered to sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. He said, what they're doing is against idols and against devils and doing the pagan things and has no merit whatsoever. But what we do tonight is a precious thing, because we honor God by obeying Him, and He honors us by letting it be a refreshing time to be forgiven for sin. And evil maybe did that sometime we don't even know. Then watch what he says, verse 21. After he talked, he said, now I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye would have fellowship with devils. Now watch this, you cannot, then he makes this statement. You cannot drink a cup to the Lord of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You know what he said? He said you can't come to the house of God and sit down and have communion and run over there and have communion just because you want to be in both societies. As a matter of fact, the child of God must only be in one society, and that's called the family of God. You're born into it, you can't join it. We've heard say that many times. And so he goes on. He said in verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He is? I mean, why would a person come and sit among, let's say this, us, and take communion, and then probably deal with others who are ungodly in the situation if they had some kind of respect to their gods or God or gods, and in turn, it may not be called communion, but it'd be similar to that. So we move on over to chapter 11, and we see that when the Christian takes the bread and the cup, they make it a part of themselves. So what happens is this. When we take the bread and cup, tonight's only bread and cup, but what it's symbolic, when we partake of it, we make it part of us. And that's representing God in us. He's already there, but it's something you do that you can see, and God says, hey, that bread represents Christ's body. You partook of it. We accepted Him by faith, but we're showing the obedience of that by taking that bread. When we take that cup, we take of it. It's like that we're giving ourselves even to God, partaking. It has no meaning whatsoever in the sense of health-wise, but obedience to God. And it's like we're saying, Lord, here am I. Renew myself to You. I want to be used of You. This thing I believe is true, it's real. And this is, I do what You say do to show that I believe in You. And so here, you hear why no unconfessed sin is left when communion is taken. It should not be any confessed sin. God's people must take this seriously. And God says this here, and He goes on and He tells, and I read to you in verse 23, we just read it and we'll have communion. He quotes Matthew 26, when no doubt he got this over in Asia Minor when God had saved him on the road to Damascus and took him over there for about 3 years and taught him. This is 26 years after Jesus did it up the upper room about that. And he said in verse 23, for I have received the Lord, that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken to you for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Now, watch as He goes through. After the same manner, He took the cup when He had supped and said, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. Now keep in mind, the disciples themselves were sitting at this table. And when Christ did this, He was letting them know their service to Him was more than just on the surface. They believed Him enough, they did take of that cup. They believed on Him enough, they did take of that bread. I would bet, no matter what Jesus said, they didn't really understand it. They may have thought, hey, a lot of ungodly pagans do this. But you know, when the Holy Spirit came and began to teach this, and Paul was taught this, and disciples understood this, He began to let them see this is something they could do that revolutionized and refreshed their life before God, because the Holy Spirit would do that for them when they met the criteria. And God's people must take it very seriously. For He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes. And amazing. Here, you don't have to say anything. If anybody's unsaved in the midst sometimes when that happens, you don't say anything. You just obey God. And He tells us that we do that with show the Lord's death till He comes. In the fact that we take of this, we say, hey, I want you to know this. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe he rose again the third day. I believe his body was broken for me. I believe his blood was shed for me. And I want to refresh my mind to God that I thank him that because of this, what I'm doing now, it represents your blood and your body. There was a time I did know and come to know Jesus as Savior. What an amazing thing. You can know this. There's a time it happened. It's not a reality of some formation to do to show some religious atmosphere. It's because we're just going to say, hey, thank God, here's a time I redo my mind and say, Lord, I still trust you. I believe in you. That's why I'm here, and I want you to guide me. And it's just like almost getting saved over again. So communion looks forward for Christ's return. You said, do it, and I'm looking. You said, do it till Jesus comes back, and I'm going to do it, and I long to see. Father, tonight, I'm taking of this. You may come in the morning. I'm looking for you. Every day I'm looking for you. If I will conscious keep my mind that Jesus may come today, it will help me live closer to him. But if I get hung off over here off the road a little bit, if I get hung up with something else a little bit, if I begin to look at troubles more so than the other things, you find it's very easy to get away and not look for it. And you know what? If Satan can get us not look for the Lord, our life won't be as clean as it was if you're looking for it. I'll just be honest with you. No way. If a child says they're saved, and I'm not looking for the Lord to come, and that's when God didn't give us a date, because that he wants to, he said, daily. He could come anytime. And so, therefore, we look for him every day. So, to approach this unworthy and carelessly, he says, very dangerous, because of broken fellowship. He goes on, and I finish this, wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup, Lord, unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That is, that someone would disobey God and take of it unworthily. That is not, they didn't meet the criteria that God set, because it's a cleansing time for us here. And in turn, he said, it's very dangerous. And then he said this, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not concerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, I don't know how much far that goes, but Paul was saying to the church at Corinth, for this cause, at this time, many in that error had already gone to sleep. That is, died. That's what the term meant. Notice again, he said, for this cause, many are weak. He didn't say many shall be. He didn't talk about the future. He said, right now. And this is only, about 26 years after Christ died when Aaron was rose. He said, even now, there's many that have been put to sleep because they took this not seriously. They mocked God by doing it not seriously. And he goes on, he said, well, this caused many a week. But he said, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Isn't it amazing? He says, when we obey God and ask God to cleanse us and forgive us, whatever it may be there, he said, we have judged ourselves. And when you do that, he says, I'm not going to judge you because you're following the right pattern. Communion is a powerful thing, folks. I wonder why in the world it's so belittled. Isn't it a wonderful thing? All the things that we have to do, there's not many, but communion is one thing that we do that God promises some good results in our life if we do it right. And then he said, but when we're judged, I love this, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I like that because he's talking to God's people here. And he's talking, he said, hey, this doesn't mean you're not going to be saved if you don't do this. But he said, just keep in mind, when we're judged, God judges us. Why? We're his child. Because he said that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together and so forth, he said, tear one for another, and if any man hungry, in the sense you go there just to get a meal, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation, and the rest will set in order when I come. And of course, I don't know if anybody come to communion like this and would be filled for a meal. And that's the reason we do this. Sometimes they'd have a big supper, and then they'd have a court communion after that, and it turned into a party rather than communion. Here, if you take this, I guarantee you won't be full. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you again for everything you said, Lord. The world looks at and thinks we're just a bunch of morons. We look to you, and you know that you've told us in our heart, just as much as you said, if we confess Jesus, our Savior, receive him, give us the power to become the sons of God. That's just as real as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And this communion is just as real as what you tell us to do to be saved. And Lord, it's one of those things along the life pathway that you give us to check ourselves and say, Lord, you know, you're right. I don't know everything I need to know in this book. I don't know everything I need to do that you tell us to do. And even we who try to do our best when some don't, Lord, we come up short sometimes, and probably many times. And tonight we come and thank you for this time. And we come to you in prayer and ask you to do what you can do for our hearts that we cannot do except agree you're right and we're wrong and cleanse us from it. Tonight each one is a mother, a dad, as a child, as an individual, we are to go if we're saved to our Father and just tell him quietly, help us be able to take this worthy to honor him.